Great pleasure to welcome back to the program, as we do most Fridays. Please welcome Mr. Elliot Friedman. Elliot, insider. You're an insider.
You want a fax machine, Elliot?
Yeah, ding. No, what's going on?
It's my phone, yeah.
Are you dialing up? Do you got mail right now in AOL there, Elliot?
Pizza Nova plug, and I started ordering.
Yeah, you should. They've got this. Do you like pizza?
I do. Too much, actually.
You know what? It's sort of like it's that one food. Like you can eat. Yeah. I've been juicing recently, Elliot.
Not steroid, but like literally juicing.
I was going to say, what kind of juicing we talking
about? No. Like vegetables. Like I go home and I juice as soon as I'm off the air. And so I've been really good. But the second the Pizza Nova pizza shows up, I'm done. Like it's over. You don't
I'm
have
off
a choice.
The wagon. Yeah, I get it.
And it's okay. I mean, hey, listen, you can do this from time to time. And if you, I don't know if you're, are you still gluten-free or vegan or something like that?
No, I'm not vegan.
You're off of it?
Yeah.
Attaboy. How miserable were you for a good year and a half?
Yeah, I don't think anybody noticed a change.
Ellie, did you just wake up and go, life's too short?
Yeah, I know. I just wasn't disciplined enough. I'd probably have to start it again, actually.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
Not if you were here, you wouldn't. Anyway, thanks for doing this morning. We were just obviously talking about the Super Bowl. We talked about the Super Bowl with you last week as well. If it's your money, I think, you know, if it's your own money, there's no way you can't take, and we talked about this last week, you can't take the Patriots. But, you know, you can make an argument this year above all years, all seven Super Bowls to date that the Patriots have been in, that you really do question whether or not they got the gusto, because this Atlanta Falcons team is really, really, really good.
Yeah, I don't bet against Belichick. I just don't. I think he finds ways to do things and get things accomplished. And, you know, as I was joking yesterday, you know that he probably stole that backpack, not a reporter, so he knows Atlanta's game plan.
Yeah.
I don't bet against the guy. I do think he's a genius. I think he's an expert at finding weaknesses in other teams, about seeing some things that aren't there, getting his team prepared, and I just do not bet against those guys ever, 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 forever and ever. Amen.
Yeah, it's hard to do, right? And it's not just sample size. It's the and you can point to the better offense. You can use all kinds of numbers, and you can kind of break it down, and you can be as mathematical and as common sense and as analytical as you want. But there's just two words that matter in the Super Bowl this Sunday. That's Belichick and Brady.
Yep, and they always, I mean, they're always terrific. They're always in the game. They always find a way to exploit whatever the other team is up to. I simply will not bet against those guys.
Is there a team in the NHL, maybe the Blackhawks, but is there a team in the NHL that you go, you know, this is the closest, and maybe you got to go back to the Islanders. Maybe you got to go back to the Oilers dynasty. Maybe you got to go back even to Montreal to find a team that's been this dominant year in, year out for almost two decades in the NHL.
Well, I think you'd have to say Detroit, because they've had their playoff streak as long as they've been. And to me, even though that's probably going to come to an end this year, it's an incredible accomplishment. And, you know, they had their own Brady, and that was Nicklas Lidström, who was the constant through all those teams, including one that was kind of changed. That one, the last one in 2008, that one moved from the Yzerman team to the Lidström Zetterberg Datsyuk team. And that would be the closest thing I could think of, especially when they had two guys behind the bench. Scotty Bowman, who's won more championships, you know, won as many championships as anyone else, and now Mike Babcock, who, you know, isn't going to win as much as Bowman did, but for his time and his era, he's going to go down as good a coach as anyone. So I think you could say Detroit was probably that team. I think now, guys, the cap and the fact that it's flat, I just think it prevents that from happening. I know the NFL is a salary cap league too, but there's more flexibility for them to have teams, I think, as good as they are than the NHL does.
Leafs lost last night 5-1, and it was a predictable result, at least when you look at the tail of the tape after. And one thing that stood out to me, and I've said this a couple times this morning, and your thoughts, you know, you realize how far that Leaf blue line has to go when you look at the studs on St. Louis's blue line yesterday.
Well, and Babcock last night was just mad after the Tarasenko goal, which I thought was just a beautiful goal. I'd be very curious to know what he was so angry at there, because that was simply a great release. He was really giving it to them on the bench at the likes that we haven't seen him do this year.
Yeah.
And you know what? I think the thing is, too, and Pat Quinn was always a guy who hammered on this, you can look at your blue line, but it's got to be everybody. And are you defending as a team? And I just, you know, the game against Dallas, Anderson wasn't great. Last night, they, you know, Manderson also wasn't great again. It's just a reminder of, in the NHL, if your goalie's not good, how hard it is to win. And, you know, they haven't been sharp, obviously, since they got out of the All-Star game. They have a big league game on Saturday night. You know that, you know, he's going to be all over them today and tomorrow to be ready for that one.
Elliot, we saw Jake Allen wearing the new pants last night, the smaller, thinner version. I don't know about you, but I could barely tell the difference. Please tell me when they change the pads and the blocker and catcher, they're actually going to be smaller where you can notice.
Well, I think next year, and that is if they get the chest protectors done, you will notice it. I think there's going to be, that's going to be a lot more streamlined. I mean, for the pants, there's only certain guys who are really brutal at it now. And the Vancouver guys are the guys that get pointed at all the time because they, you know, they're skinnier guys. But no, this one's going to be harder to tell. The hope is if they get the chest protectors done next year, George, it'll be much more obvious when you look at them.
Elliot Friedman, our guest, NHL and Sportsnet, brought to you by McAlpine, Ford, Lincoln, and Aurora. Your 30 thoughts this week at sportsnet.ca. And something that happened this week, and you guys used it and played it, and visually, you know, you really kind of get, I don't know if you get angry watching it, but Brad Marchand and his inability to not slew-foot someone he's within 2 square feet of.
Yes.
And you wrote about Marchand incidents that make the NHL look bad. And I don't disagree with you because of no supplementary discipline from that last one on Hedman against Tampa Bay the other day. And we know he's been suspended for it as recently as a couple of games ago. We also know how important he is to that team. But because there's no real slew foot rule, because there's no real, interference would be the call, right? But what is it with Brad Marchand's inability to not be a dirtbag with his right foot?
Well, I think the issue is that they don't normally suspend guys for tripping, right? And, you know, when you've
got... But that's way more dangerous than a trip.
Well, the thing is, it's like a tripping penalty. You're right. It is way more dangerous than a trip. It's ridiculous, really. But I think the problem is that everything is built on precedence, right? And even though it's a sport, it's all law and legalities and precedence and stuff like that. And people don't get suspended for that. So, you know, if you're going to have a situation where you suspend a guy, you've got to be able to say, okay, this is what we've done in the past, and this is what we do now. And I know that drives people crazy. Sometimes it drives me crazy, but it's the way it goes. It's sports, but it's law. And, you know, Marchand, the other thing here is that if I'm the Bruins, I am telling him, you know what? We need you. You know, Bergeron's not having a great year. We're battling like heck to make the playoffs. The Maple Leafs and the Sanders have about 40 billion games in hand on us because of this crazy schedule. If you get suspended, we are screwed. And, you know, I don't buy this whole excuse. Excuse me a sec, guys.
No worries.
I don't buy this whole excuse that a guy needs to play on the edge to be a good player. There are plenty of examples of guys who have been edgy players and calmed down, and they've still been good players. Brad Marchand at the World Cup of Hockey was right up there with Crosby as one of Canada's best players, and he wasn't going around slew-footing people. And so I think it has to come as much from the Bruins as it does from the league, because he is going to do something again because he just can't help himself. And it's going to be something the league can suspend him for, and they're just going to whack him.
Yeah.
They are just going to clobber him.
He's the NHL's Grayson Allen. I mean, it's bizarre how much he just feels the need to skate around and put other guys' careers, or maybe even just season, but possibly careers, in jeopardy. I mean, you know, if you've ever been slew-footed, if you've ever played the game of hockey, when you come down full force on your backside, and your neck jars
or
back.
Your head.
Yeah, and you can hit your head,
but
too.
But isn't he the only guy left like this in the NHL, really?
No, I disagree with that, George. I think that, you know, it's because there's been a lot of changes. Like, one thing I'm really noticing this year is that the linesmen aren't really even letting guys fight anymore.
Yeah.
And there's a lot more linesmen jumping in fights. And Nick and I have had this debate, and I think it has everything to do with the concussion lawsuit and people. The general public doesn't have the stomach to watch these injuries anymore. In the minute, people will watch the fight and they'll be like, oh, right, a fight. And the moment somebody gets hurt, you go on Twitter and you're like, that's brutal. And I think that's what's happened, is that sports fans, they love sports. They don't have the stomach for the injuries that sports cause. So there's no more fighting, and that's really cut down. And also the mentality has changed a lot. And I was saying this to Tim and Sid last night. You know, the famous story, 20 years old now, is, you know, Geno Ogic was running Doug Gilmore, and Wendell Clark skated up to, I think it was Ogic, and said, look, if you don't stop it, we're not coming after you. We're going after Pavel Bure. And that used to be the way the sport was played. It's not like that anymore. So, you know, if these guys aren't going to get suspended, and the Department of Player Safety, I mean, it's the toughest job in the league by a mile. There's no question about it, because everybody hates you. Then, you know, how are you going to discipline these guys? And the fact is that if it was 20, 30 years ago, somebody would either go after Marchand or they would go after Patrice Bergeron, and that would be the end of that. But it's not like that anymore, so you have to find different ways to police it.
Elliot Friedman, our guest, NHL and Sportsnet, and insider, brought to you by McAlpine, Ford, Lincoln, and Aurora. 8:16 right now. It is a -8 Colorado Avalanche. 13-33 on the season, 20 games below .500. They are not just abysmal, they are god-awful, and there might not be a worse team with better young talent. What are they going to do come trade deadline?
Well, they're going to try to make some moves. They've got some rentals. You know, John Mitchell's a rental, the former Maple Leaf. I'm curious to see where Ginla ends up. A guy like Fetter Tootin, Rene Bork. Those guys are probably going to go. And then there's still the Duchesnes and the Landeskog, and they're trying to hit grand slams with those. So, I mean, you know, those guys are out there. Everybody knows they're out there. We'll wait to see when we get to the point where somebody actually decides to pull the trigger. But there's no doubt that the Colorado Avalanche are open for business, and everybody knows their phone numbers.
But it's interesting, too, because, you know, you just cited some of those names, and you would think from an outsider looking in, if you don't watch a lot of Western Conference hockey or Avalanche games, that should be a much better team. I mean, you're talking about maybe some of the best young talent, you know, in the NHL. And when I say young, I mean, you know, veteran young, but still a young enough team that you kind of scratch your head and you wonder why they are where they are.
Well, I think there's a couple of reasons there, Dean. Number one, the goaltending hasn't held up. A few years ago, Varlamov got them into the playoffs almost single-handedly. I think he finished second in the Hart Trophy voting. He's not going to play the rest of this year, and he's really fallen off a cliff. You know, we've been talking a lot about defensemen they're looking for. I think they're looking for goalies, too. And the other thing, too, is, Dean, they're not very deep. If you look at their draft history the last few years, they have a lot of swings and misses. And so in this league, if you don't draft well, you don't have a chance. And we're not just talking for guys at the top of your lineup, guys all the way through your lineup. And they haven't done a great job. And as a result, they're very, very thin.
Joe Sakic in trouble?
I don't know if he's in trouble, but I think there's almost like this annual question where we ask, does he really want to continue to do this? And I had heard early in the year last year that he didn't. And, you know, I asked someone out there, you know, what are you guys thinking? And they said, don't report that because, you know, he's going to come back. And he did. It's a lot quieter this year. You know, I think it's going to be Sakic's choice. But if you were to say that he was going to move into a more honorary position or maybe take less of an active role, I don't think anybody's going to be shocked by that.
Elliot, we all know they're a budget team, not a cap team, and we all think, you know, Duchesne will go in his $6 million, but why are they in a hurry to trade Landeskog?
Well, I think too, like, you've got to trade quality to get quality, right? And, you know, I don't necessarily think it's because they don't like him. I just think it's because you have to give to get, and when you're having a year like this, I think every option is on the table, George. You know, I mean, I think that's what it is. You take a look at everything you have, and you say, hey, look where we are. And Dean mentioned the record, and their record in regulation is even worse.
Yeah.
I think when you're running a team like that, you're saying nothing is off the table except maybe Nathan MacKinnon.
Yeah. Which is hard to believe, right? Because, you know, you think about the rebuild process and sort of like the Oilers back a few years ago where they just kept getting great draft picks. You know, they got some big names. They got, and then you watch them kind of go by the wayside because the supplementary drafting and some of the free agent signings weren't very good. So you got to wonder where that comes from. They've obviously cleaned it up in Edmonton, but it just seems like a never-ending job of a rebuild, a never-ending world for the Colorado Avalanche. Not that I spent a lot of time staying up at night wondering when the Avalanche are going to put it together, but it just seems like this has been a really, really long haul for that team.
Well, I think also what's happened is, you know, they've made the playoffs a couple of times because their goaltending was unbelievable, or because they were, you know, had one of those really fortunate years where everything kind of went their way.
Yeah,
they've never done it with any kind of sustained, you know, we're great for 3 or 4 or 5 years here, or we're consistently good for 3 or 4 years. It's been sort of like a sudden shock, go away. Sudden shock, go away. And I think when you make the playoffs like that, you know, twice in 6 years or whatever it was, you kind of sit there and you say, all right, we're really not that good, and it's a bit of a mirage if we think we are.
Ellie, we want to get to a couple things real quick, too. Patrick Marleau scored his 500th last night. Is he a Hall of Famer?
You know, that I was talking about this yesterday with someone, and the interesting thing about that is, like,
he's too boring. He's too boring to be in the Hall of Fame.
Not he's too boring. You know, I'll tell you this. I see him. You know, guys like Dave Andrechuk, who struggled to get in, who were around a long time and were consistently good players. Like, it was Marleau ever like sort of like the best player in the league?
Nope.
And so, but the thing is, like, he's been consistently really good. And you know what, guys? And this is the other thing, too, is he doesn't get hurt. He could play for a while.
Yeah.
And he's got an outside shot. If he wants to play 6 or 7 more years, he could play more games than Gordie Howe in the NHL. And if he does that, it's going to be really tough to leave him out.
Olympics? Yes, no?
They're going to meet today, and nothing's going to be decided today. Like, I don't think they're going to walk out of there and say, all right, we have a deal. But I think we're going to have a better idea after today as to how far we really are away from it. I'm always a big believer in we go through this dance and we go. I think this is the time that the owners have been the least inclined to go, and the league has been the least inclined to go. But really, Dean, if they didn't want to go, they would have voted not to go already.
Mm-hmm.
And Bettman and Daly keep saying, you know, there's no deadline here. That says to me they're holding out for, okay, what's the last-minute offer the IOC is going to make to us?
Yeah, it was interesting, too, because Backstrom said Ted Leonsis, the owner of the Capitals, said, listen, if you want to go to the Olympics, you can go to the Olympics. I'll give you that time off.
Yeah.
I don't know how many other, you know, owners are doing that. I wonder how many other owners are calling Ted Leonsis this morning saying, you stupid idiot, why are you doing this?
No, I'll tell you this. Bill Daly was on the primetime roundtable just before Christmas this year, and John Shannon asked him about that, and he said, and I can't remember the exact quote was, he said, we're going to be open to this depending on how many guys want to go. So I do think the league, without telling us exactly what it is considering the possibility of an individual team-by-team policy on, you know, where you want to go here.
Do they make sense to me?
Do they
That's what soccer does.
Yeah.
Do they have two separate schedules already made, Elliot? Is that true?
Yeah, there's no question about that. They know exactly what they're looking at in terms of going and not going. Absolutely.
Appreciate you doing this, Elliot. Have an awesome weekend. Enjoy the Super Bowl, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. I never bet against the Patriots. Now watch, they'll lose like 60-0.
I'll be a downer.
I'm with you. I'm with you. And you know, I haven't had an unbelievable year. I'm on the plus side. But I can tell you this, is that it's a stupid, stupid idea to take anything other than the Patriots. Don't even worry about the over or the under. Just take the Patriots.
Take them in the points. I always say that.
Appreciate you doing this. Thanks.
Take care.